I kind of had a choice at that point.
Not just being patient with the process, but being grateful with the process.
And I'm like, man, I went to my dad straight after the game. I'm like, yo, like this shit can't happen anymore, man. I always try to take the good out of any negative situation.
You know, I have players coming in, Xavier, and they'd be like, you know, I played so bad. You know, sometimes I'd be like, hey, bro, hey, I don't know, we can't do nothing about that. I can tell you what we can do, we can get some work in right now.
Like, if you're not doing plyometrics, you're losing out on a lot of potential for performance.
My dad had these tapes of the Laker game. I got to a point where I said, you know, I want to play basketball. And I just always wanted to make sure I had the edge over people.
It became a part of me, you know, I didn't want anybody to get to be better than me.
This episode is brought to you by Whoop. Whoop is the only 24/7 wearable technology that measures the everyday stressors both inside and outside of work and training. Whoop measures the physiological data related to sleep, including the quality, duration, and consistency of sleep, strain, which is the internal load from external stress, and recovery, which is the readiness to perform. Whoop uses these three key metrics to call out areas for improvements and reinforce positive habits. If you're looking to join the team, use my discount code BBALL at checkout or just click the link in my description to get a free 30-day trial with Whoop. Come join the team. Let's level up together. Welcome back to another episode of the Basketball and Barbells podcast. Thank you, everybody who's tuning in right now. I actually had a poll a while ago. This episode has been in the making for about 2 weeks, but as you guys know, I'm a one-man army, so I try to do everything on my own. But I actually had a poll. I asked what everyone would be interested in learning about as far as my next topic, and it was a close race. I actually had training and change of direction, agility. There was training deceleration, and I can't remember what the last topic was, but it was pretty close for decel and change of direction and agility, but I think change of direction won off by maybe a few votes. Thank you to everyone who participated and voted. But today's topic is training, change of direction, and agility. I think a lot of misconceptions about there what change of direction and agility, what they are separately. A lot of times they get used interchangeably and they're not the same thing. So I'll say it again, training, change of direction, ability, and training agility are two different things. Although I'll explain that in a little bit more detail as I go on. But to start off with this conversation, I think it's important that we understand what agility is. So basically agility, if we are going to look at the definition, which I will link the article that I'm reading from at the very end, it is a rapid whole body movement with change of velocity or direction in response to a stimulus. So basically, a little bit different from change of direction. Change of direction being definition-wise, this refers to a specific event of changing direction, which can occur during both planned conditions and during agility conditions. So in essence, training change of direction ability is underneath agility, because in order to change direction, you have to be agile, if that makes sense. So a lot of people get this confused because they think it is the same thing. They think, oh, we're training agility. You got to learn how to change direction. Well, not necessarily. Yes, that is part of training agility, but agility is just a big umbrella and changing direction is underneath that umbrella. So I just wanted to clear that up before we got too deep into it. For example, looking at a basketball player, and I'll actually define what this phenomenon is actually called. So we look at a basketball player, and they say they catch an outlet. So let's say they get the outlet pass, they turn around, there's no defender in front of him or her. So what are they going to do? Like, they're not going to try to go around anybody. They're not going to try to, you know, make a banana cut. You know, you're going to go straight to the basket. As long as no one stops the ball, there is no reason why a basketball player should do anything but running a straight line to the basket to score a basket. So in essence, like I said, if a basketball player catches an outlet, turns around, nobody's there, straight line to the hoop. And that's a linear sprint, right? Like, you're not going around a cone, you're not going around anybody. All right, cool. Now let's say the player turns around after they catch the outlet and there is a defender right in front of him or her. You know, what are they going to do? They're going to do their best to come up with a solution. This being like, you might make an in and out, you may go between the legs, you may be going behind the back to try to get around this player, because they are now in your way. They are now stopping you from your goal of scoring a basket, whether you pass it or to another teammate to shoot a basket, whatever the case is. So now at this point, you've got an obstacle, and now you have to pick a solution or solutions to get around this obstacle or obstacles. So looking at the two, you know, very different scenarios. So that is actually what we call perceptual cognitive agility work. So basically, like I said, it is more than just changing direction. It's more than just having the physical ability to actually change direction. So that is, in essence, like I said, just training, changing direction by itself. But perceptual cognitive work actually involves the brain. So all of my players know that I talk about the brain a lot. I talk a lot about the nervous system. I talk about how basically the brain is the control center of everything we do. So if we're just training the brain, the body, not to make any decisions, not necessarily to respond to any stimulus, well, now we just become robots, because now we're just kind of in this controlled environment. We're just running. We're just kind of making these planned routes. So cool. Physically, we are able to start to develop, you know, muscle, or we're able to develop solutions to these problems that we have because they're planned. But as every hooper knows, every coach knows, basketball or sports in general is chaos. So if you're a hooper and you go into a game, think about when you practice and you're outside, you're just, I don't know, doing pound dribbles, in and outs, whatever, no defender, and you get in a game and there's a defender in front of you reaching for the ball. So all of a sudden the pound dribble doesn't work. What are you going to do? You actually got to make a move. You have to react or dictate what the defender is going to do at that point. So in essence, like, now you have an obstacle that's reacting to you, a stimulus. So if you're just used to just doing the monotonous work, just going through the motions, then absolutely you're going to have a nightmare of a time trying to get around this player. And so that's why it's important to not only train mechanics and train the physical being of the body, but you also have to think about training the brain, train the mind. You know, how do you respond to the stimulus? Part of that is, like I said, in perceptual cognitive training. So it is not enough to just be able to physically be able to carry out a chosen movement solution, whether it's behind the back, maybe you're going a spin move, or maybe you're going around a pick, and maybe the angle you choose to get around the pick, right? These are all variables of how you're physically able to do something, but you have to also be able to perceive and understand and read the situation. So if you go into the situation and you're not able to read, react, you know, we talk about defenses, coaches always talk about reading defenses, reading offenses. If you're just in the game physically and you're not there mentally, you're beat. So it is not enough to be able to get through the motions physically. You have to be able to perceive the stimulus, read, and make a decision based off of whatever you just perceived. So I know that's kind of a mouthful, but basically to bring it all back to where we kind of started originally, yeah, cool. Like, we can do all these change of direction movement patterns. We can train deceleration. I can give you all of the dumbbell exercises in the world, but physically, if you're prepared, but you've never done any drills where you actually have to react to something, where maybe it's a whistle, a snap, a clap, a light, it can be anything, where you have to react and then make a decision based on whatever stimulus that you just kind of received, then you're never going to go anywhere. You're basically, like I said, going to be in the game physically, but you will never be in the game mentally. And so that is why it's also important for athletes to understand that they're not one and the same. Like I said earlier, you can train to change direction. You can train to decelerate. But like I said, the brain is control center. So in essence, if we're not training that, then we're not going to get anywhere. All right. So Like I said, I gave you the example of the basketball player catching an outlet pass, turning around. Now let's talk about a little bit or a couple of examples of using it in training. So I touched on this a little bit, and this is going to be pretty simple. Nothing too crazy. Some things that I do, some things that you could possibly do. Instead of just focusing on change of direction, going through the motions, yeah, like I said, we want to train the mechanics, absolutely. But at the same time, we need to be able to train the brain to understand that different scenarios call for different tools in the toolbox, right? You got to have a bag. So just because you can do something doesn't mean you need to do it, right? You don't want to get into a fight if you don't need to get into a fight. You do it if you have to. You got to protect yourself. But in essence, you kind of want to just use it when you have to use it. So for example, instead of regular defensive slides, let's say like, you know, I've seen a lot of coaches and I see a lot of teams, rightfully so, for conditioning or whatever the goal is, having players kind of do defensive slides all over the court, whether it's going baseline to baseline, sideline to sideline, whatever the case is, but not reacting to anything. So it's kind of like you're going through the motions. Then you get in the game, you try to guard somebody, all of a sudden this player's got a bag, you don't know what they're going to hit you with, and you can't even react to it. So something pretty simple that you can do, even in warmups, to start to turn the brain on, turn the nervous system on, is have a coach point. They can either point, they can clap. Whatever they decide to do, you got to react off them, and that's going to dictate what direction you go, whether it's left, right, whether you want to go forward, back, take a charge, whatever. Now you have a stimulus, your coach, making you make a decision, right? So now you can't just go right just because it's part of the drill. Now you have to go right because, oh, I got to react off this. Oh, shit, he just pointed left. Let me go, oh. So very simple. We can easily change that if you are training for agility. Now, if you're going to try to condition, then by all means, do what you need to do. But quick scenario right there. Also, one thing that I like to do as well, if you have a partner, someone who's a teammate of yours, or can be a coach, a trainer, doesn't matter. One thing you can do is shadow drills, where you have one player on one baseline, let's say, or over a sideline, and the player that is actually doing the drill on the other side, and you just have one player trying to mimic the movements of the other player. So they're defensive sliding left, right. The other player is trying to copy and mimic them, like almost as if they're their shadow. So this is also something else that can help benefit, because now you're reacting based off of stimulus. Now you have an athlete who you're trying to stay in front of. And even though it is defensive sliding, like now it's basically giving you something to also perceive, not necessarily just going through the motion. So two quick examples of it's defensive sliding. Now it doesn't necessarily have to just be defensive slides as well. Even for me, offensively, I do dodge drills, and I treat it more for an offensive player. So when it comes to change of direction, like I said, you have to be able to, plant, get a good knee angle, and then reaccelerate in a different direction. But that can't happen if you can't read the situation. So I'll have players like a simple dodge drill that you can do. Again, have another partner. And if you have enough cones, you can use shoes, foam rollers. It doesn't matter. As long as you have something that you can basically set up as a quote unquote gate. So what I do with my cones is I have one set of cones on the left of me. I have another set of cones on the right of me, and I stand in the middle. So now I have a player who is running towards me, and I'll jump in one of those quote unquote gates, and they have to go to the opposite side. So now they're reacting off of me. Now, once I jump to the side of the quote unquote gate, now all of a sudden the player has to, one, read the situation, and then two, they have to be able to get to the other side. So we're combining all the qualities of physically being able to change direction, but also being able to read the situation, perceive the stimulus. So I like to do this with a player with an actual basketball. Since I train so many basketball players, I'll just give them a basketball. I don't care what move they make, just whatever move they need to make in order to get to the other side of the gate. So I'll have players that will literally be sprinting at me at different lengths away from me. So whether it's 10 yards, maybe 12, 15, whatever you decide, you can shorten those yards to take less time. You can have them do a run up up to that point, whatever you decide. For me, I like to kind of just not necessarily freestyle, but just have them make whatever decision they need to make. That way, when they're in a game, they're able to be more creative in the moment. So I know, and I touched on this a little bit in my Instagram, but I talk about letting athletes be athletes. There's only so much control I want to have in the weight room. There's some control that I want to give not only to the athlete, but just chaos in general, because basketball is chaos. And I don't necessarily want to be in the weight room taking that away from the athlete. Now, don't get me wrong, I want them to be safe, but there are times where I let chaos be chaos. And this is one example of the dodging drill. You can even have two players and have like another set of gates where now the athlete has to read two defenders and get to the other gate. Pretty simple way to progress that. Like I said, it can be different types of, I guess, moves you can have them do. You can have them go between the legs through the other gate. You can have them go behind the back to the other gate. Really, there's only the only thing that limits you in this drill, or I guess this type of movement exercise, is your creativity. I like to just give basketballs to the basketball players because that's what they know. But it is not something you necessarily have to do. And then last but not least, I like doing tagging drills. So a lot of people know, at least when they talk to me, when it comes to athleticism, I find that as we get older, we get less athletic, not because we get older and our cells start to slow down, but because we stop being kids. I feel like personally, kids are some of them are actually athletes who just don't know how to use their athleticism. They climb trees, you know, they play tag. You know, we used to be able to run all day. I can't do it no more, but I used to run all day and never get tired. And over time, we start to specialize and we lose some of that human capability. So I still like to have players crawl from time to time. If I had something safe to climb, I would have my athletes climb. I think it's important to have these other human qualities and not necessarily just say, okay, we're going to go work on change of direction. We're going to work on sprinting. Because yes, while we do need to develop these specific qualities and these specific, I guess, techniques in order to be effective in our sport or whatever it is that we're doing, we can't lose that other side of it. It's the foundation of all movement to be a human being, and I don't want to lose that. But that was long-winded, basically to say tag is one of those games where I let the athlete just, you know, be athletes. Go play tag. You know, I actually have this one drill where I have an athlete, two of them actually, and they're in the center of the court. There are around the circle, and I give one player a cone, and it's just a tag drill. The players have the defensive slide around the actual circle, and one player's offense, one player's defense, and they're just playing tag essentially. So for me, yes, like I'm allowing them to kind of just have fun. The same time they're reading and reacting, and then on top of that, like you're allowing them to be an athlete and actually move and be competitive. Same thing, you don't have to do that drill specifically. There are drills where even with the gate drill, now let's say you don't have to dodge, but maybe you have to dodge the tagger, or maybe you have someone trying to tag a defensive player or offensive player, where the two meet at a certain point, and now it turns into who can best who. One player is trying to get around the other player is trying to tag, like I said. There are different things you can do. Be creative. I would highly recommend going on Elon Sports Performance on YouTube. They have tons of drills if you just want to get some ideas and then build off that, or just use those as your you know, in your programming. But just be sure that we're not just sticking with the training of the physical, but we're also including the mental as well. All right, guys. So this episode is going to be way shorter than my typical episodes. Decided to go with just this specific topic. More so a little bit of a rant necessarily, but I appreciate you guys for voting. I will have the other topic of training deceleration. That video will come out, or that episode will come out a lot sooner, since these shorter, I guess, sprints are a lot more manageable versus going with the hour-long podcast episodes, and they're more digestible. So continue to please stay engaged. I love it. Thank you to everyone who is listening to this podcast. And I actually have something to not necessarily announce, but touch on. If you're listening to this podcast and you would like to get in the gym with me and Coleman Ayers, aka By Any Means Basketball, they will be here next week. DM me if you're on Instagram, or figure out a way to get my contact info is actually going to be in the notes description. Get in contact with me. Let me know. Let's get in the lab. Or if you just want to get in the gym with me, perfectly A-OK. But again, thank you all for listening. Let's go level up. Thank you for listening to the Basketball and Barbells podcast. I really hope you all got major value from today's episode. Please leave a rating and review of the show. And don't forget to tune into the next episode.